What is up, Noel Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear. I'm Jesse. That's Michael. And we are coming to you live fresh off another win for Florida State. They improved to 2-0 on the season. Michael, two games in, we have already equaled our win total from last year. So it's all positive vibes right now. But you know what, man? This is a game that you expected to win, right? You expected to win big. I think you were close to a 45-point favorite. So you won like you were supposed to. But at the same time, man, like, this is kind of what we wanted to see from this team. You didn't want to see them play down to the competition. So just all in all, a great day. There's some records that actually Florida State tied or set today that I'll fill us in here for a minute. So we're just going to let some people get in as we're live here. Obviously, I'm coming from my studio at my house. Michael is in Tallahassee. He was at the game today. So, Michael, I'm pretty sure you got a chance to look all around Doak and every nook and cranny of the remodel and everything, because the game got a little bit boring in the second half, but I'll let you tell us about the atmosphere there in Doak today, because I will say this, man. I know the game got – it was over early, right? But it looked like in the beginning the crowd was pretty good. Doak looked pretty packed. It was pretty loud on TV. And for, you know, a noon game against an FCS opponent, I thought it was a pretty good atmosphere in Doak, at least for the, you know, the first few minutes of the game.
Yeah, you're right, Jesse. I mean, you know, I was a little worried. You know, I thought we'd get that Bama bump, you know, prior to Bama. If we had lost Bama, I probably would have estimated maybe 20,000 people would have showed up. But we did. We got the Bama bump. Plus, it was like, I don't know what this weekend was. I don't know if it was family weekend. I don't or kids weekend, one of the weekends. But there were a ton of people. I told you pre-show that I think I would estimate maybe 45 to 50,000 people there. The kickoff to the game, even the first quarter, it was pretty decent. Fans show up and they were, listen, 50,000 people, you know, 45, 50,000 people in this renovated Doak Campbell Stadium. Jesse, believe it or not, it was kind of loud still. I was shocked a little bit, like, wow, we're bringing it for Texas A&M or East Texas A&M. I was proud of the fan base for doing that as well. And of course, you know, like you said, the boys, they took care of it. I was really grateful that they took this game very seriously, that they came out, they were determined to put them away early.
You're right, man, because when you look at this game, right, this team had basically every opportunity or every excuse to come out, maybe start slow, not take the game serious. I mean, it's a noon game against lesser competition. You're coming off a big win, something we talked about. If maybe you had a real opponent on this side of Alabama game, maybe if you're emotionally high or hungover, that this could be a problem. But, you know, again, man, we talked about this where Randy Pittman had said, you don't fall or rise to the competition, you fall to your preparation. And so I think it was a thing today where, like, you didn't take this team lightly and you went out and you played really hard. And I mean, like, I know it's a bad FCS team, but I still go back to the example of, like, this game, they played SMU last week. And that's, I know, it was game one versus game two. But that game against SMU was 28-3 going into the fourth quarter.
That's right.
This game was like 100-3 going into halftime. So, like, again, you just came out and you handled it. And so, you know, and again, like, man, you think about it. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this if my wife can hear me. But, you know, she's a Georgia fan. We got the Georgia game on. They're playing an FCS opponent right now, and it's 14-3 with 2 minutes left in the halftime or in the first half.
Wow.
You know, your game was 49-0 at half. Now, I know they have a problem with playing down the competition, but it just goes to show that not everybody comes out and puts a beating on a lesser team like this. You won the big game first, right? You showed that you could do that. But the sign of a great team versus a good team is not getting a big win. It's getting a big win, but also winning the games you're supposed to just smash a team. You know, I said in the preview show that I did, my high school coach used to tell us, anytime you're playing a lesser opponent, you need to smash a gnat with a sledgehammer. And that's exactly what this team did. They didn't let them hang around. They didn't let them get back into the game. And you're now beating bad teams like you're supposed to. And that's a sign of a good team.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I've had four goals for this team that I was thinking about walking into this season that I just kept personally thinking, if they do these four things, the sky's the limit. Okay. And against Alabama and today, which is what I was super proud of, was they were focused. They were determined. I'm sorry. I had five goals. They were focused. They were determined. They executed, they dominated, and they won, right? Focus, determination, execute, dominate, and win. And that's what they did today. They came out and to do that. And I get the Georgia, you know, Georgia, this is their second week of playing a cupcake opponent. So they're probably not all into it. They'll probably pull away in the second half. But man, these are the kind of games that when it comes to play, college football playoff time, that the committee is going to be looking at. How did you dominate the teams you were supposed to dominate? Yeah. And let's say Georgia only wins, like, let's say they only win 35-7, but Florida State and Georgia and Florida State are kind of somewhere tied there. And Florida State's got this win on them and the same equal kind of opponent in the committee's eyes. That might put Florida State just a tad bit ahead of Georgia. So these games matter, and I'm so proud of this team for taking this game seriously, for coming out and saying, no, we're not gonna play with our food like cats. We're gonna dominate like tigers.
Right, and you know, I think the thing here too is, like you said, you cannot fault Mike Norvell for, like, okay, maybe at some point it was like, how many deep balls are we gonna throw when we're up by 40 points? But at the same time, you said it yourself, man. Like, Mike Norvell is literally, when you look up, I have been bit by stupid decisions related to, blamed on, let's just say this, blamed on strength of schedule, because we know that wasn't correct. Really why they did it.
Correct.
But,
correct.
But for crazy decisions that were blamed on strength of schedule, Mike Norvell is the textbook definition of why you should try and beat a team by 100 points. Because,
yes,
like you said, at the end of the day, everything is going to be compared. Everything is going to be put under the light. And even the small games may turn out to matter. And so,
yes.
Yeah, man, you make a great point that they took it serious. And I'll say this. You know, one of the things that I said in the preview of this game is like, look, you just got to play a clean game because you can't let them hang around. I think right. It was SMU last week that had 3 turnovers and 7 or 8 That's penalties right. In the first half. 3 penalties for 35 yards for Florida State today. Only 1 turnover, and that was by the walk-on quarterback way late in the game. So you can't even really hold that against either the first or second team. And so far, man, I think they had like 4 penalties last week. One thing about this team, you know, through the first 2 games, you have – like 6-7 penalties and 1 turnover, really 2 if right. You count the special teams. So, man, they played smart football so far, and they've played well. They've looked well coached. And, you know, that's just something that you can be proud of, that no matter the game, no matter the opponent, they're coming out and they're playing good football. They're playing clean
that's
football.
Right.
They're still – I will say this, man, when you watch this and you go back and watch it, even down to the walk-ons, this team played hard today. They gave effort from whistle to whistle. They flew around. They made their presence felt. They were hitting dudes. You know, it's impressive that no matter the opponent, what they're – just the difference from last year, right? Just the effort, the energy, and the clean football that they're playing. And when you do that, you put yourself in position to win games like this.
You know what? One of the things I was thinking about during the game was, you know, it can be very easy to look at this game and feel like, oh, this is just really a glorified scrimmage / practice, right? You know, we're supposed to go out there, we're supposed to dominate this team. But, you know, it's the old saying, how you practice is how you play. If you practice terrible, you're going to play terrible. If you practice well, you're going to play well. And I love the fact that the mentality was, we have to go out here, we have to focus, we have to be determined, we've got to execute, and when we execute, we got to dominate, and then we'll win. It's the same mentality you have to have in practice, it's the same mentality you have to have in a game. And then the other thing, I'm curious about your thoughts here, I felt like this was such a great opportunity for Florida State to work on some of the things that didn't go maybe as well in the Bama game. I think number one, and you saw it very clearly, and I know we'll get into the stats and all that stuff, but Florida State was determined to throw the ball around. You know, I wasn't so keen on them being, you know, stopped in the run game early on, but I understood what they were trying to do. They were trying to get that run or that passing game going to make sure we got film on Tommy throwing the ball around. Obviously, Deuce has a big day. Deuces were wild today. That's going to be the title of my wrap-up article for today's game is Deuces Are Wild. I mean, but you could see clearly that Florida State really wanted to work on that passing game and get it going.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is one of those where there's good and bad out of the whole thing, right? And there's not a whole lot to say about this game. Because like you said, man, when you talk about this, it's a glorified practice in a way. Like, honestly, probably what you see in practice is probably better than what you saw on the field. But you also got snaps for a lot of guys. I mean, there was a lot of walk-ons, a lot of freshmen in there. And also, I think this is big because it gives the coaches and all the off field, you know, or excuse me, the staff on game day and everything, just another chance for them to get in sync. I mean, these are things where they have things that they can clean up. And so, yeah, I think, you know, as we move into talking about some offense here, I'll share some thoughts on the pass. But yeah, I think you made this game about you and not the opponent. And that was the goal the whole time, right? I mean, we even put in the backup kicker. And you know, and you know, something that I've talked about, right, is before is that you in the past when Florida State struggled, you didn't really get these opportunities to get a lot of the young guys in for a good amount of snaps, right? Because you were in tight games that maybe you weren't supposed to. So these are things, hopefully you have this again at Kent State, but these are things that, you know, really just kind of help build that depth throughout the season. And so, let's go to the chat a little bit, and then we'll talk about some offense here. So what's up to Robbie, Steven, and Mike, who joined and said hi. Jeff is in here, comes in with the super chat. Of course, we always appreciate Jeff and his support. Said this game was over after the first quarter, and boy, was it ever. And we were able to put in our freshman and backup by halftime, which, yeah, I mean, Jeff, that's exactly what we wanted to see, right? We wanted to see you win like you were supposed to and get those starters out, man. After Squirrel White went down, I was like, please get these guys out of here.
Well, the targeting, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, the targeting on Tommy Castellano, which is funny because no one in the stadium knew what had happened. We were all very confused why it was fourth down. They went to a commercial break. They were reviewing the spot of the ball. Then out of the commercial break, they're 15 yards down the field. We're like, what is going on? And I had to text you and be like, what happened? And so once you told me it was a targeting, I was like, can we bubble wrap Tommy and get him out of this game, please?
Yeah, it was a clear targeting too. He dived right into his head. It was pretty bad. It was actually pretty bad. You know, you wanted to get him some play in this game, but then at some point it was over so early. It was like, okay, we can just get him out of here. And Jeff, we appreciate another super chat here. Says Deuce Robinson, New York, pretty good hands. But surprised me is how fast he was. He was, but you know, man, I will say this too. Like if you watched our preview, and this is why you watch our previews, right? I had said in there, I said they played soft coverage against SMU because their DBs had nothing for SMU's receiver speed. Well, I guess someone else must have saw that on tape because they aired it out to Deuce right out of the gate. And that was an obvious mismatch you know, we had pointed out. And so, you could tell. I want to say what's up to Kate. She was in Doak today. She's joining us. She's a channel member as well. So thank you for joining us. But let's talk about the offense, Michael, right? First off, let me just say this does tie the largest win in program history. Previously, it was 74-0 against a team that was like on an Air Force base back in, you know, when they had leather helmets and stuff like that. So you do actually tie. Had you not have given up the late field goal there, you would have had the largest victory ever there. You just did come a few points, 3 points short of tying the all-time scoring record, which was against Idaho when they put up 80. But when you talk about this offense, man, 108 points so far through the first two games. We scored 92 in seven games last year. Now, you didn't have the FCS opponent, so that does make a difference there. But when we look at some numbers here from this game, obviously we talked about the score 77-3 here, 729 total yards for the Florida State offense, 368 rushing, 361 passing, 10 of 14 on third downs, only one turnover, which again was by a walk-on quarterback. You held them under 200 yards, 197 total, 105 rushing, only 92 passing. So really gave up absolutely nothing through the air, 2 of 2 on third downs, and they didn't have any turnovers. So, man, just – I also said they said this was the first time we broke 700 yards since the year 2000 when we went against Clemson back then and wore them out. So, I mean, just a huge day. Another stat here for you. Now, remember – we talked about that SMU game, right? And SMU is a team that's voted up near the top of the ACC, was a playoff team last year. They put up 400 yards and 28 points of offense against this East Texas A&M defense last week. Florida State's offense put up 416 yards and 49 points in the first half, Michael. I will kick it back to you for some thoughts on this. Florida State's, I don't know if you saw when I tweeted this out, Florida State's offense put up 416 yards in the first half, which is currently the most yards in the first half by any team in the country so far.
Come on now.
I understand you have to adjust for the opponent, But the Gus bus is rolling, and you better get out of its way or you're going to get ran over because, man, I'm telling you, what they did, putting up 31, you know, against an Alabama defense that's supposed to be pretty good, and then when you play a lesser opponent the next week, you're literally out here setting records. Man, that's what we wanted to see.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we wanted to see. We wanted to be able to see them come out and focus and be determined and execute and dominate and win. And part of that is not messing around with East Texas A&M. I mean, they're Division I. Yeah, they might just be, you know, rolling in Division I, but they're still Division I players. And you saw, like, it was a struggle for a little bit for SMU. So the fact for Florida State to be able to come out and dominate and get this win and do that in the first quarter, I think this was the first time, Jesse, since 2017, that Florida State has scored 70-plus points. The last time they had scored 70-plus was against Delaware. In 2017. So like that's a huge thing. And then one other thing, I'll throw this back to you, is the stats said 2 of 2 for East Texas A&M on third downs. That can't be right because they punted a lot.
No, it's straight off of the stat source. So they were 2 of 2. Three of 12. I got that wrong. That is my bad. But yeah, man, I think when you talk about this, you know, again, there was just so many guys that got involved. And when we continue down the offense, 7 drives, 7 touchdowns in the first half. He scored on 10 of the first 11. So that was good as well. Again, things really didn't kind of get a little dicey there till later when you had the backups of the backups in.
Right.
My phone rang at one point at halftime, and Mike was like, if you're here, I'll let you run about 2 or 3 snaps if you want. Because we're just looking for somebody to put in the game. I mean, you were there with your kid. He could have got a couple snaps, right?
I was ready. Give me the ball.
Yeah, man. Put me in, coach. But some of the things I saw on this offense here, right, they use tempo today. It looks like it's getting better as the more comfortable they get playing together. Play calling was just nice. Again, today it was creative. So we still saw a lot of the motion and stuff. And obviously Gus isn't going to really get deep down in his bag, you know, today against this team. He's not going to show a whole lot. Like you said, man, it wasn't all perfect. I wasn't thrilled with the way we ran the ball early, right? East Texas A&M did get some penetration. They did stuff you on the goal line. You got saved by a penalty there. They also got a sack on Tommy. Again, just some little things I didn't like against an opponent like that. But at the same time, it seemed like East Texas A&M was willing to kind of give you the pass to kind of stop that run. And so you took advantage of the pass, and that's exactly what you did. I mean, Tommy was 8 of 11 for 237 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, 73% completion percentage. So that's, I mean, 2 weeks in a row above around that 65% level there. So that's good too. Obviously, as you said, man, the story of the game was Deuce Robinson. Now, granted, this was pretty much just a mismatch that you couldn't stop, right? But he goes 5 catches for 173 yards, 2 touchdowns with a long of 82. He had an 83% reception percentage, which was good. I mean, really, the only thing I saw that didn't work in the pass game, there was 1 or 2 passes where Tommy underthrew one, and then he overthrew the very next pass. But you know what, man? He didn't really put the ball in harm's way, and he was making things work. And then, you know, I think this too, like, right when you also brought in the backup, man, first off, there's probably something to be said about Kevin Sperry coming off the bench first. I'm guessing. I know Brock's been limited and hurt a lot in spring, but this says something about he's the next man up. But he looked good. And again, I know it's against the competition that it is, but you're talking about a freshman that was in high school this time last year. He goes 4 of 5 for 61 with 2 touchdowns, 80% completion percentage. So, man, I mean, he did had a couple little nice runs there, 3 runs for 22 yards, 7.3 yards per carry there, too. As far as your rushing goes, Sam Singleton led you 4 attempts with 82 yards and a touchdown. You had Zay Parks also walk on 10 carries for 61. Mekhi Danzy, basically just give him a reverse and it's a touchdown. So you might as well just – right, exactly. You might as well just let that happen. Cam Davis got in there a little bit. We saw a nice game from Gavin Salchuk. Who comes in with 8 carries, 35 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Chroma had 5 attempts for 37 yards. So good production, even though not a really big workload. Salchuk also added 1 reception for 53 yards and a touchdown. Chroma added a catch, 1 catch, 43 yards and a touchdown there.
Touchdown.
So, man, Amari Williams, 1 catch, 35 yards and a touchdown. I mean, you just had a lot of guys really get involved in this game. A lot of guys recorded some good stats. So, man, overall, as we wrap up our thoughts on the offense here, I'll throw it back to you, man. It was just a great day from the offense against a defense that you should have feasted on, right? You didn't look bad. You didn't throw some picks. You didn't, you know, drop a bunch of passes. It was a clean game by the offense. And the results followed, the yards, the points, and all that stuff. And, Michael, I'll throw it back to you on this. At one point in the game, The announcer said, it doesn't matter who you have in at quarterback when you have an offensive line like this.
Oof,
my brother, we prayed for times like these in Tallahassee. So, like, this is the big man upstairs is listening, and he has blessed us with Herb Hand and some good transfers, man. It is amazing to hear that.
Listen, this reminds me, I was about to say something crazy, but you know, this reminds me of what a good offensive line looks like. It's been so long since we've seen a good offensive line in Tallahassee that we done forgot what they look like. And so, you know, I really appreciate the job that Herb Hand is doing so far with this offensive line, these transfers. I know today was probably really good for him because he needed to get, you know, I know they have six that they're super confident in, but I know they wanted to get maybe that next five in to make sure they built some depth just in case, you know, you have, knock on wood, some injuries, but hope not as well. You know, I want to go back to Tommy real quick. You know, one of the things I was very impressed with is, you know, we talked about this in our Spear review where we looked at the film. You know, there was one throw that Tommy had to Javon Boggs in the Bama game where Boggs, you know, actually gets a step on him and Tommy's late. Well, a couple of those long throws, the two to Deuce, the one that ends up, you know, he kind of overthrows. He actually, I made sure to watch and he throws it on time. Like he went back and watched the film and saw what he was doing. Now, yeah, there was one that he overthrew and then one that he threw short, but you can see the continued improvement, the continued focus on, hey, this is one other thing that you can get better at. I thought the receivers did a great job of getting open today. I thought they did a great job of blocking as well. I thought the running backs, you know, like I said, the offensive line early on in the game, you're right, Jesse. East Texas A&M, they were very focused on slowing the run game down, so they were giving up the passes. But as the game went on, that offense, that first team offensive line got better and better of just, you know, grading. And sometimes that's what's going to happen in Gus Malzahn offense. He may not be able to gash you early, but because his tendency is 60-40 run the pass split, he's going to keep coming at you. And eventually you're just going to get worn out as a defensive line. Eventually as the defensive coordinator, you're going to start bringing, you know, 7-8 in the box. And then that's when he's going to hit you over the top. So,
yeah, I think what was encouraging about this too, like you said, you saw Tommy kind of flex his arm a little bit today. Last week against Alabama, it was his legs that were kind of more of a factor. This week it was the arm. And so I think it's good to see that balance. Obviously, you know, when you look at the stats, you were almost identical in the run and the pass. Now, I think you probably could have done whatever you want to do to win this game. But at the same time, it's impressive just to be able to see that, right? To be able to see them go to whichever's working the best and lean on that to get the win here. Now, let's come with some more chats here. Steven comes in off the top rope here with a super chat. We appreciate you, Steven. He is also a member of the channel. Says, War Knowles, what are y'all's thoughts on the timing of next week's bye? You know what, man? I actually, like, I kind of wish it was before the UVA game because you're playing a Friday night, right? I would much, much rather have it after the Kent State game. But I will say this, right? You did have I don't know that I saw Kevin Wynn play today, so he must still be out. Probably no risk there. You know, you also had a couple injuries that were with Randy Pittman and some guys like that didn't even play today. What was it? I texted Jabril Rawls, wasn't even dressed out. I don't know what that was all about. No one really elaborated on that. We also saw Squirrel White go down. And then you had heard a rumor that maybe James Williams got banged up in the game too. So I think from a health standpoint, I think this is good, right? Because I think now you've seen enough in the first two games that you probably know who the guys are you're going to roll with are. And now you got a chance to kind of heal up, work on yourself a little bit. And then you can make adjustments now and go test them out against Kent State, right? Whereas maybe if the game was after Kent State, you go play Kent State, you do what you got to do, then you're kind of throwing some new things into Virginia. So you got time to work on things, rest up, heal up. Then you go into that Kent State game. You can kind of display some of the things that you worked on. And then you got that big Friday night game against Virginia, who did lose to NC State today, 35-31 in Carter-Finley. They were giving it to NC State there for a minute. So again, that's a game that you don't want to overlook. But man, I would probably rather have it after Kent State. But at the same time, I don't love the bye week this early. But I think it's a good place because you got some guys that are banged up after two games that need time to heal up.
Yeah, I've always been with the way the schedule worked out, and we talked about this during the summer, is that I would have loved to have that bye week, that first bye week before Miami. I just, you know, something about just being able to have 2 weeks, make sure you get all the guys that you're going to need for that game back. And so I would have loved it there. But now with some of the injuries that we've had already, and I don't think any of them, and again, we don't know much about Squirrel, or even if the reports on James Williams that he got banged up was even valid. But with the guys that we do know were out and of that nature, it's kind of working itself out to have this bye week, you know, heal up those, you know, Randy Pittman and the guys that were out had the opportunity to be off this game. And honestly, I'm just be dead serious. If I'm Mike Norvell, I'm really considering, do we need them to even play for Kent State? You know, Kent State as they, I mean, I don't know what the final score was, but it was bad when I last checked against Texas Tech. And so you almost have to wonder, do you need them for Kent State, or can you maybe give them that one more extra week to heal up, get them into practice, and be ready to go for Virginia?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe depending on how that game goes, right? Maybe you give them a quarter at best or something like that. Or some of the guys, if there's any question whether they're not 100%, like you said, man, I just don't think that you play them because, you know, Squirrel White is a guy, as Jeff says here, like I hope he's back for the Virginia or the Miami game. I probably don't expect him to see him at all at Kent State because his arm was in a pretty big brace whenever he came out of the locker room. That was spotted on the sideline. So, I mean, at the same time, I will say this, in game, right, the medical staff, a lot of them are still out on the sideline on the field. So chances are you're going to put that thing in a brace. Then after the game, you're going to go get, right, you're going to go get your x-rays, your MRIs. You're going to make sure to see if everything's clean, if there's a break or anything like that. And if there's not, then you can kind of rehab it. And if there is, you have a procedure. And hopefully he's back by the Virginia game, right? I mean, that's something that you really, you don't want to be without him. Michael, this is just plain awesome, right? I want to address this comment right here. FSUJ says that Ethan Pritchard's dad broke the rock, man. That is so awesome to see. Again, our thoughts and prayers are still with Ethan as he is still fighting. But, man, that's awesome. Kate says Deuce has hands.
I was going to say real quick, They did a tribute, I think it was towards the end of the first quarter there, where the camera panned in on Ethan Pritchard's dad, and the stadium just rose up. And I mean, just the loudest applause you would ever for that moment. And as you said, Jesse, you know, we here at Plant the Spear, man, we're just praying for the young man, praying. I know he's still in stable conditions, last we heard, and you know, we just hope that he's able to pull through and be back to just normal Ethan. And you know, just it was a great way to honor him and his family today. Earl Little ran out with the jersey,
too. I was just gonna say, yeah, he ran out with his jersey, which is awesome. And so, yeah, let's take some comments here. Deuce has hands, he caught that touchdown right in front of us, and it was wild, man. It's like a Johnny Wilson that can catch, right? Hopefully, anyway. We'll wait till he has it because the only thing fighting him for that ball was the air. And the humidity in Florida. That was it because that DB wasn't really in the TV frame. But as Jeff says here, man, the key is to stay healthy. As long as they stay healthy, the offensive line can be the best we've seen since 2013. Jeff, it certainly looks that way. I mean, you definitely got to stay healthy. I think you probably feel good about Rizzy. I think if you can find maybe a seventh or eighth guy in the in that between this game and Kent State game, I think you'll feel good about that. Alex Griffin says Sperry looked comfortable. That's huge for the future. I agree. I was excited about Kevin Sperry to begin with. We saw a little bit of his legs, but I was actually more impressed with his arm. He did have the overthrow in the end zone there, but I will say this, man, they do say that, like, the kid's got moxie and he's not scared to let that thing go. And so, I mean, he does have some arm strength.
Yeah, can I say this real quick? And this is not a diss to Brock. I think Brock's a great kid, a great guy, he's going to be a good QB. You know, but the thing is, if I remember going back to watching Brock when he got his chance to get in against the Cupcakes and watching Sperry, you know, Jesse, there was a noticeable difference, man. There was something just different about Sperry.
Yeah, the only advantage I would say that Brock has over Sperry is you can tell he's clearly more physically developed, right?
Right.
That's why
right,
when they kind of had that third and short, they put Brock in to let him run it.
Yep.
Because Sperry's just kind of light in the seat still. But man, I think you could see from the legs, the total package, and knowing what the offense is, right? He's a perfect fit for Gus Malzahn, whereas Brock is more of an adaptation to kind of making you fit the system. So
correct.
We'll see how that goes, man. That says a lot. And I'm hoping that, you know, against teams like Wake Forest and things like that, we'll continue to see the backup situation shake out here. Henry, member of the channel, appreciate you, Henry, says they did what they needed to do today. Exactly. That's what we wanted to see from this team. That's all we asked from them, was to play a clean game, get a big win, and get out of here without too many injuries. Jen Noel, this is Jen from the Renegade Report. Appreciate Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Dropping a comment here. Hope you're doing well, Jen. Go Noles, another relaxing day of football. Man, there's nothing like a stress-free Saturday, right? I mean, you get a big win against Bama. Now you get this one. Then you got the bye week. You should very well take care of business against Kent State. So, man, that is – stress-free Saturdays are the best, right?
It's a PYB Saturday, park your butt Saturday.
Yeah, and so then Robbie chimes in with a super chat here, said Ethan's dad broke the rock, man. Yeah, just a special day. I mean, a big win for the family and everything with them too. So, Michael, let's talk a little bit of defense here, do some overall thoughts, and then we'll kind of wrap the show up, because I know you got to go back to Orlando. Got that drive, and it looks like, man, the Bugs are putting up more of a fight against you than East Texas A&M did against Florida State.
Gosh, so it's getting bad.
So they're swarming like Florida State's defense did. And that's literally my first note on the FSU defense is, man, they swarm to the ball. They make their presence felt. They deliver a lot of big blows. This is a defense that plays like a Mickey Andrews defense, man. They hit you right in the mouth. 57 total tackles on the day. You had minus 20 yards in TFL yards. You had 3 sacks on the day, 9 tackles for loss. So, I mean, again, Michael, we literally have half as many interceptions through 2 games as our entire defense had in the whole season last year, with 2 today. Earl Little gets one, and then Jerry Wilson also gets one today. So, man, we're halfway there already. One other guy that I want to give a quick shout out to is KJ Sampson. I was a little hard on him last week after the Bama game. I know this is a much lesser opponent, so you'd like to see him have a good day against a better opponent. But at the same time, like, he had a pretty good game today. Had a couple big he had a big TFL. That was big to see him there. So, man, just give me some thoughts on the defense. I thought it was a pretty good day overall. My biggest disappointment, Michael, and I know it wasn't first, second, or even third string, was the fact that you gave up the shutout. I kind of hated to see that, because I wanted to see, and I hope they still do this tradition, even with Mike Martin no longer around, you know, God rest his soul, is the spike baseball, because I don't believe – Adam Fuller ever got one. So, you know, Tony White was really close, but, man, I hated to see they gave that up. But other than that, it was a great day for the defense.
Well, I just want to say something. Listen, no disrespect to East Texas A&M, whatever your name is, Commerce. I know the AD at East Texas A&M is a former Florida State administrator, been here for, I think he was here for like 15 years. So all respect to you, but your coach is a punk. Man, for for kicking a field goal there. Come on, man. It's fourth down. You're on the 3-yard line. Go for it. See what you got. Yeah. You know, run that goal line defense, because it would have been nice to have gotten that zero. It would have definitely been a spike baseball, or if they still do that tradition for Tony White, that would have been really nice. No, but I thought the defense played really well today. You know, they, you know, obviously, you know, with the running quarterback, they were switching the quarterbacks in and out. You know, they gassed him for a couple little runs, a couple of throws there. But, you know, the defense bowed up. I thought every time they just bowed up, and they hit you and they hit you and they hit you. And then, you know, with I said to somebody, we were sitting in the Renegade Hall, and I said to somebody about Jerry Wilson's pick, I said, look, there he is already. He had more interceptions last year than Florida State has a whole defense, and now he's carried the defense again and getting the interception. Earl Little gets the interception, which is so nice. I mean, there were 2 other interceptions that we missed today as well, too. I mean, I think by my count, we've probably dropped 5 interceptions in 2 games. So we you know, this team is going to be a ball hog. I just feel it. I feel it. They're going to have several games in a row where they're just picking off balls, because the way they are just to the ball, they are hot. They are ball hawks. You saw again, the team tackling again, they were to the ball. You didn't see any loafing whatsoever. Even when the backups got in, you didn't see loafing. You saw a hard nosed defense today. And I'm sure Tony White was, you know, maybe secretly proud, but I'm sure when he gets in the film, he's going to find 50 million things that are wrong and get them boys ready to go again.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, man. And I want to point out something here that Alex says, that this is something I was thinking about during the game too, right? That says the Tony White streak continues. Oh. No rushing touchdowns at home. So they didn't give up one to Bama. They haven't given up one today. And if you remember before the season, I had put out the stat where he did not give Nebraska, his defense at Nebraska anyway, did not give up a single rushing touchdown at home last season. So far through two games, no rushing touchdowns at home. So, man, that's impressive to see as well. Kate drops that SMU is in double overtime with Baylor.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
they are currently losing that one. So, man, it's just, you know, again, man, this is what I'm talking about. Like, when you look around at the country and you look at the other teams, right, and I'm just going to rattle off some scores. It's about 4 o'clock right now on Saturday afternoon, so we'll just do some quick score checking. Georgia and Austin Peay are 14-3 at halftime, Michael. 14-3 at half against an FCS team. Ohio State's up 14-0 with 9 minutes left in the first on Grambling. That's, of course, going to be a blowout there.
Yep.
But Clemson, I don't know how far they got into that game, but they're down 7-0 against Troy. It's delayed for weather. I don't know how long they got into the game. Probably, I
Clemson's
would imagine.
Down?
Yeah, probably did not. Let's see. Clemson's had a drive. Okay, Clemson's had a drive, and Troy's had a drive, and they're down 7-0. Against Troy. So, man, look, Michael, I said this tongue-in-cheek during the game, right? I totally was joking because I don't – you know, the better we get, the more scared I am to jinx us.
I actually get quieter,
right?
I feel you.
But I was talking to my wife, and she walked out, and she's getting ready to watch the Georgia game, and she goes, golly, 70-0? And I laughed because I was like – I said, how did we go – from the best team in the country to the worst team in the country to looking like the best team in the country right now? I mean, again, you can't sit here and take a whole lot away from you know, an East Texas A&M game, but you're not in a 14-3 dogfight, right? You handled your business, and SMU just lost. They just lost to Baylor. Update there.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just, you know, when you look around, and plus I will say this, when you look around at what your schedule has done, which I'm really interested to see what that Florida-South Florida game turns out to be today. I think South Florida might give them some fits. But, man, I think when you look around at the country right now, Michael, through two games, and there's a lot of other teams that play cupcakes too.
Right.
So let's not act like everyone's been out here playing Bama 2 weeks in a row or whatever.
Right.
I have not seen more than two or three teams that are as or more impressive than Florida State. I just haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I would say as of right now, if you had to take these 2 weeks, and again, there's some games tonight. You got Michigan at Oklahoma. You got Ole Miss. I think they're playing Kentucky right now. Obviously, we'll see what happens with the Clemson game. We'll see what happens with LSU. We'll see what happens with I can't think of the other team I was thinking of, but we'll see what happens. Georgia. We'll see what happens with Georgia. But right now, if you had to put me down and threaten my life, I would be saying that. Let's go, Noles, let's go. I would be saying that Florida State right now looks like one of the best teams in the country. I'd put them in the top five as right now after two games. They look like one of the best. And you're absolutely right, Jesse. It's like whiplash. We were the best team in the country that couldn't make the playoff because, you know, whatever, the snub. Then we were the worst team in the country and we couldn't win a game against a top, you know, power two conference, whatever you want to call it. To now, we don't beat the eighth best team in the conference and we just smoked East Texas A&M. Can somebody give me a chair real quick and let me get my bearings?
Wake me up from this dream that I'm having. It's insane. But no, you're right, man. I get it. Like two games in is too early to tell, right? But at the same time, again, you've had a tough test. You've also had a cupcake.
Let's
and you
go,
passed
no, let's
you
go,
know,
my boy. What's your dream right now?
You passed
yes, sir.
Both tests with you know, you passed both tests with flying colors.
What is this is plant the spear.
We got a little guest.
77-3. Let's go, no.
Yeah, let's go. Hey, follow us online. Plant the spear.
I got you. They're going undefeated
a little guest
all year.
Oh, I love that. He says they're going undefeated all year.
Since the Alabama game, I've been saying it.
He said this is the Alabama game. They're going to win.
What's your name?
Hey, I love
it. Michael.
Let's go.
Michael Lamar.
Hey, nice to meet you.
For the Noah's Zone.
Let's go. You too.
Let's go. Hey, that's what happens when you're live at Doak, right? You never know. But we love donations, so we don't mind a bit. Let me get to a couple more comments here. So Encyclopedia says that just got back from the game. FSU number one, baby, drops a super chat. So we appreciate that as well. I really appreciate it. I want to give him a shout out because we've gone back and forth in the comments sometimes. He's like, I love you guys, even though we disagree half the time. So that means a lot to get that one there. I appreciate him as well. Jeff says, go Noles in here. And then Alex says that college football is always better when the Noles are good. FSU versus
Amen.
Everybody.
Amen.
Of course it is. And then Kate says that the Miami game is going to be absolutely fire. And it is. Now, again, we got to go win that Virginia game first because that's going to be a big one.
Thank you. Thank
but,
you.
But, you know, you take care of that. Right? You take care of that. I got you, buddy. I was just getting to a point where I could give you the floor for a minute. But you get past that Virginia game, man, and that Miami game is going to set up to be absolutely, absolutely insane, man.
Yeah.
So really just can't say enough. You know what, again, like we said, man, when you come out and you just handle a team like you did today, you handle your business, you play a clean game, you look well coached, you didn't let your focus down in this game, man, it's huge. And so we got some people in the chat agreeing, like, look, man, it looks like Florida State is the best team in the country so far. I mean, yeah, okay, maybe Ohio State's up there too, but, like, your offenses look better so far. You know, so we'll see. And you know what? I agree. You knew the national champion. We were going to be national champions after the Nevada game. I think so too. That Pitt game was huge too. Jeff comes in with another super chat here and says, look, if we're putting up 40 points a game and our defense is playing like it's playing, we're going to win a lot of games. You can bet your bottom dollar on that, buddy. If they score 40 points a game, even I think if you're north of 30 a game and your defense is playing like it is, man, it's going to be huge. And K-Dog 350 here makes a great point, Michael. It's just so much fun to watch this team on Saturday again. Like, I think more than anything, it just wasn't fun last year. And the fun is back for Florida State football this year. And as Kate says, you know, I think the Kent State game has not been determined yet. Please don't waste a night game on Kent State.
No,
but if you get Miami, please don't do that. Let's eat another nooner there if we got to. But
thank
man,
you.
If you get again, like we said, we're not looking ahead past Virginia. I know that. But if you get Miami at home at Doak at a night game and both of those teams are possibly undefeated or at least maybe they have one loss against Florida, that's going to be just a bonkers environment, man. That's going to be crazy. But, you know, again, it all starts with handling your business on the bye week, handling your business against Kent State, and then going on the road and getting that win against UVA. And so, man, it starts there. But, again, another week where you did what you were supposed to do in the way you were supposed to do. Because, you know, we talked about this, right? Kind of my final thoughts here, Michael, is we were worried that, like, if you come out here and you were, you know, 28-10 and at halftime, that maybe you're like, okay, well, how good were we in week one? But because of the way you backed it up with this one, again, you're not proving anything against East Texas A&M, but you saw the fits that they gave SMU last week, and you came out and just crushed them, and there was never any doubt in this game. Man, just really, really excited for this team, because if they can play to their level every single week to this level, you're going to hurt some people's feelings this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, here's the thing. Here's what you proved in this game. You're, like you said, you're not proven whether you're the best team in the country and all like that national championship. That's not what this game got. The biggest thing about this game was proving that you have a dominant mentality, that you are a team that is not going to mess around with the opponent. It's not going to mess around with their food. You're going to take this game seriously. You're going to come out and you're going to put your foot on their throat and you're going to dominate this game. You were focused. You were determined. You executed. I'd probably give this execution wise. I'd probably give it maybe a B plus. I'm a harsh grader. So I give it a B plus, right? You executed, you dominated, and you won. You did exactly what you were supposed to and expected to be done. That says more about you as a team than anything else in this game, which, because last year we didn't have that. We didn't walk into these cupcake games feeling like we were automatically going to win. You know, we barely beat Cal at home, and I forget who we played last year, what the team was, but I know we only won by 41 points, and that game was a slugfest. Slog. It just was all discombobulated and all. It just wasn't a good game. You came out, you dominated, you put your foot down, you tackled well, you got defensive stops, you got turnovers, you got the passing game going, the run game started picking itself up, you're able to play some backups. I mean, Mike Norvell, Gus Malzahn, Tony White, the staff, they have to walk out of this game feeling like, hey, we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish in this game.
Yeah, no, I agree. And now you get a bye week to rest up, to heal up, and it was Charleston Southern, the team last year.
Thank you.
But yeah, man, I mean, you did what you were supposed to do. Now you get another week to heal up, rest up, work on yourself, another week to come out and have an opponent who is a little bit more of a tough challenge. I mean, they lost to Texas Tech today, 62-14. So again, you know, that game should probably be at least a 30-40 point win. So you want to see them rise to that occasion again. But then you go into the heart of your schedule, right? That's when you start getting into all these tough games, the Pitt game and Clemson and all them. So it's perfect, right? You passed your first test. You did what you had to do to kind of wake the nation up, to wake everybody up to Florida State football. And now you get a dominating win. Now you got these next 2 weeks to continue to get better. And like you said, man, I thought you saw some improvement in some areas today. As long as you continue just to see these little bits of improvements, right? That's the one thing that you want to see. Just get better every week. And then when you roll into the heart of your schedule, again, man, I think you just go back to, like, so far, none of these games look unwinnable for Florida State if you play like you have played the first two Saturdays. Now, I know it's very, very early to be making those kind of predictions, right? But at the same time, you've played as good as anybody in the country, and you haven't played down to your opponents yet. So I'll be interested to see, you know, again, if they back this up again against that Kent State team, and then what they do at Virginia. But, man, I think it's all smiles right now, because you got to be happy. You're relatively healthy. Hopefully we hear some positive news on Squirrel White or any other injuries that you had there. I'm sure there was a lot of guys. Again, you also did this being down a couple guys, right?
That's right.
You know,
where
you were where you were resting some guys. So you weren't even really at full strength when you did this. So you continue to get better. You get your guys healthy. You get everybody back. And, man, I think Florida State is really looking at making a run this season. If they can just keep stacking wins like this, keep getting better, and keep doing everything, playing like you are on every Saturday, man, you brought the effort. You brought the energy. You brought the boomstick. You did everything that you're supposed to do. If you keep doing that, man, again, the season's going to go very well for you. But now you're in a stretch where this is what we talked about, man. This was the mini camp in the early part of the season, where you build depth, you get better at your processes, and then you go to the heart of that schedule, and you see what kind of run you can make, man. And like we said, everyone you look at so far, just based on body of work, because that's all that really matters in 2025. It doesn't matter what you did last year. It doesn't matter what your recruiting class is next year. Right now on the field, Florida State looks as good as anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And the name of the game, you know, your biggest opponent this upcoming week is rest and healing and fundamentals, right? So that's, bye weeks are great for rest, healing, and fundamentals. You know, get a lot of rest, get some healing done, and then also work on the fundamental things, the things that maybe have started, you know, this, speaking of which, I think this is actually a really good point to bring up, is the fact that, remember, you know, coming into the season, the coaching staff had secretly, and it got out to the kind of the media world, that they lamented the fact that their spring had got cut short. So they had to extend some of the spring into fall camp. And then they had to cut that short because they had to get ready for Bama. And so here you are with a bye week, 2-0. You beat the number 8 team in the country. You mollywopped East Texas A&M. And now you get a chance to get back to the fundamentals. Do maybe a little bit of more, some of that stuff that you couldn't get done, that you can install some stuff, get, you know, maybe some other things of the defense, of the offense, special teams, looking at the film there, maybe seeing if some of those freshmen need a little bit more playing time. You know, Tony White's going to be judging this. Players are I am 100% positive. Players are losing or gaining playing time based on every single game, especially with Tony White. And I love that. Nothing should be given. Everything should be earned. And I feel like this team is earning their time that they get on the field. That's what you're going to want to do more of in this bye week here. Get rested up. I know the coaching staff probably doing some recruiting as well, but get rested up, get healed, get back to fundamentals, and get ready for Kent State.
Yeah, man, you actually make a really good point, right? This is almost like you have been gifted a second spring camp in the middle of your season after you passed the big test against Bama. So that's only going to help you get better, man. So really just excited about the season going forward. You know, another win, 2-0 for Florida State, 77-3. I mean, again, man, just after last year, I think this fan base knows that you cannot just like take any win for granted, right? Every single win feels good. You're still in the hunt for everything that you want this season. And as long as you keep stacking wins, you're going to stay there. And so, man, just a really good Saturday, another good Saturday for Florida State fans. I know it's not quite the field storming high of an Alabama win or anything like that. But, man, again, you came out, you thumped the opponent like you were supposed to, and now you're 2-0. You know, unfortunately, we don't have another game next week to be excited about, but we're, of course, you know, going to dig into plenty of stuff here at Plant the Spear. We've started some film reviews. We're, of course, going to have a regular show. We'll do a bi-week check-in. We'll make sure to check, keep you guys updated on content, because I know now that we're good again, or knock on wood, now that we're good, that we appear to be good again, right, Michael? Now that we appear to be good again. Everybody's excited for FSU content now. It's not like last year where it's like, oh God, we're playing again. Can we just be done? So, you know, I definitely think that this is going to be a bye week where we'll have plenty of stuff that we can find to talk about. William asked, does this give you 2013 or 2023 vibes? You know, I'm saying 2023 right now because of the way you came out and you beat LSU in that first game. You kind of mollywopped the team there with Alabama, and then you whipped Southern Miss second, I believe it was, and you whipped this team second. So, you know, the way you're playing, you got a mobile quarterback who's good with his arm and his legs. You got a stifling defense. This just really does feel, and I will say this too, I think 2023, this feels very 2023-esque, and I have been really impressed with Thomas Castellano so far and everything that he's done from the quarterback position. But yeah, man, I mean, it's going to be a fun season if they keep playing like it is, but I get the 2023 vibes. I'm not going to go that far yet, but man, let's just hope we can replicate those results with a better ending this time.
I was just going to say, I don't know. I know we want to remember 2023 very fondly, but 2023 is somewhat painted for us, and it brings up all kinds of feelings for us at the end of there. But you know, what's interesting is that you're right. We did mollywop LSU in Orlando. I was there for that game. And then I brought my son to Southern Miss, and we mollywopped them there. And that was the famous Keon, you know, doing the hurdle jump. The hurdle over the player there. And so, you know, here we are again. I come to the Alabama game. We beat them really good. Could have been more. And then I bring my son to this game, and we mollywop this game. And so, they're definitely, I'm a little leery to jinx. You know, I'm a pastor. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. So I don't want to be putting anything on this
team.
I just want them to be focused on this right now.
Let's just say it feels like 2025, and we're getting ready to head into a bye week because each team is their own. So, man, but again, like, I'll just say this, Michael, you see the smiles on our faces right now.
Yeah.
Like, this just feels good again, because I'll tell you what, man, I love doing this. I love doing this with you. I love doing this with the fans and our community and everything. But I tell you what, talking about, you know, about loss number 5, 8, 10 last year was just brutal. So,
yeah,
you know, just having some good football to talk about again is great, man. So, Michael, I think with that, we've shared about what we can share for a 74-point beatdown of an FCS team. But again, guys, make sure that you check back with us next week. We will definitely have some episodes for you guys. We'll hopefully be able to look at some film. We'll have a preview coming up for Kent State the week after that. You know, again, we don't take any days off just like this team doesn't, so we're going to have a whole lot of content rolling out for you guys. We'll have a game wrap coming up on the website shortly. Make sure you check that out at plantthespear.com, our website. Like and subscribe to stay connected to your source for fan driven FSU content. This is by the fans for the fans. That's why we love to have you guys involved in the show here. And you know, Michael, a rate and review on the podcast helps reach other Noel fans. Goodness, I'm so excited. I'm just getting my words twisted there. You can also join the channel if you'd like as a member to help support what we do to try and up the channel for you guys, try and up our game. Every little bit goes back into the channel. Just hit the join button and you can check that out. So we appreciate you guys. Kate says thank you. We appreciate you tuning in as well. Again, you guys are just as much a part of the show as we are.
Yes.
Says thanks to Michael and Jesse. You guys rock. So we appreciate you guys. So Michael, 77-3, Florida State thumps East Texas A&M to move to 2-0, man. All smiles here. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, man?
No, I, again, it was a great environment. Kudos to the fan base for showing up, showing out, being loud. Kudos to the coaching staff, making sure that this team was ready. And kudos to the players for taking this game seriously, for coming out, for doing your job. Just super proud of you, man. Go rest, go heal, work on some fundamentals. Let's take this bye week seriously. Let's attack it the same way we've attacked the first two games so that we get ready for Kent State.
100%, man. Ready for this. you know, my voice needs the bye week, and then we'll have that Kent State, and then I'm excited for that Virginia game because I will be at that game. We'll be tailgating. You guys, if you're watching, be on the lookout for that. I already know there's about 6 or 8 of you guys who have gotten contact with me about a tailgate. We will be in the West lot for the UVA game, and then, of course, we're also going to be having a Plant the Spear tailgate at the Miami game as well.
Yes.
Right now, it's looking like we're going to be in Lot 8, just giving you guys an advanced heads up on that so you can be kind of on the lookout for that. Again, we love our community. We love to meet up with you guys. Michael, be safe going back to Orlando, my man. I know it's just going to be all smiles all the way back there to Central Florida. But, man, guys, that's going to be it for this episode. Congrats on another win for Florida State. Again, 2-0 on the season headed into the bye week. Another stress-free Saturday on deck where we don't even have to worry about anything. We just get to watch everybody else sweat for a change, which is nice. And then the next game will be in Doak against Kent State. Time has not been announced yet, but as soon as we know, lock in with social media, Plant the Spear, and we'll keep you guys updated on that. So, Michael, that's going to be it for this one, I think. And be safe going home, man. I'm sure we'll be talking the rest of the night about whatever football games happen. And thanks for watching, guys. We will catch you on the other side. As always,
go Noles.